This is the WMRA Daily Podcast for Monday, April 19th. I'm Chris Boros in for Bob Levicky. Several JMU physicists lent a hand to a groundbreaking particle physics discovery that jolted the global science community last week. WMRA's Calvin Pinn reports.
The G-2 experiment found that subatomic particles called muons wobble in a way that defies the standard model of physics. That could possibly indicate the existence of undiscovered particles.
So there might be a new particle out there, but there also could be a different field.
Kevin Giovanetti is a physics professor at James Madison University.
Is there another interaction that is just so small that we haven't seen it yet, or so disguised that we haven't identified it yet?
To find out, scientists shot billions of those muons through a 50-foot magnetic ring at the speed of light at the Fermi National Accelerator Laboratory in Illinois, better known as Fermilab. Hundreds of scientists around the world contributed to the experiment over the past several years, including Giovanetti and five of his students at JMU. They developed a power management system to detect the muons as they decayed during the experiment. Pramal Patel worked on the team for his senior research project.
Essentially, we were creating a 2-unit wide slice that basically provided the low voltage but high current needed for the detectors.
The results are still preliminary, and the team will analyze them and add more data in the coming years. Giovanetti will continue his work with the project going forward.
We will have a huge difference between theory and an experiment, and that will be unquestionably evidence of new physics.
For WMRA News, I'm Calvin Pinn.
Liberty University has filed a civil lawsuit against its former leader, Jerry Falwell Jr., seeking millions of dollars in damages after the two parted ways last year. The Associated Press obtained the complaint filed Thursday in Lynchburg Circuit Court. The lawsuit alleges breach of contract, breach of fiduciary duty, and statutory conspiracy. Falwell's departure from the university last August followed a series of personal scandals. When the AP reached Falwell via phone on Friday seeking comment, he said he was not available to talk. Democrat Terry McAuliffe holds a lead in fundraising in this year's governor's race, according to campaign finance reports released this week. McAuliffe is trailed by two Republican millionaires who funded their campaigns with their own money. From partner station VPM, Ben Pavier reports.
Conservative businessmen Pete Snyder and Glenn Youngkin have vowed to bring boardroom discipline to the executive mansion. But they're also bringing another asset, cash. Both men loaned themselves over $5 million last quarter, an edge over the other five Republican candidates for governor. John McGlennon teaches government at William & Mary. He says self-financing has shown mixed results.
Money in and of itself is no guarantee of success, though it sure allows you to get your message out there.
Terry McAuliffe's campaign has drawn from labor unions, small-dollar donors, and billionaires. The former governor has over $8.5 million cash on hand as of April 1st. He's trailed by former delegate Jennifer Carroll Foy and State Senator Jennifer McClellan. They'll face off with Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax and Delegate Lee Carter in a June 8th Democratic primary. Ben Pavier, WMRA News.
The first cases of the so-called Brazil COVID-19 variant has been identified in two samples from residents of Virginia, state health officials said on Friday. In a news release, the Virginia Department of Health said one case involving the P1 variant was identified in an adult resident of the Northwest region who had a history of domestic travel during the exposure period. The second case was identified in an adult resident of the eastern region with no history of travel, the department said. As the spring convention and primary season heats up, candidates are feeling the heat from a network of shadowy political action committees. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
Following the money from a candidate is a matter of seeing where their money comes from and where it goes. But what about all these political action committees that have been created specifically to go negative against specific candidates? Delegate Marcus Simon says knowing who's behind those attack ads is difficult, if not impossible.
The one thing that everybody touts as our redeeming quality is that everything's at least disclosed. And, you know, sure, we have no cap on who can give money and we have no limits on who can give money, but at least you get to see it all. And it's all transparent. But this particular way of organizing a PAC and then spending money in Virginia is essentially all dark. That's what we call it, dark money.
Shruti Shah at the Coalition for Integrity says it's about time Virginia shined a light on all this dark money sloshing through the system.
Now, say if these spenders are a 501c organization, they can just say Americans for Better Virginia, right? So you still don't know who is making the expenditure, in which case you should require that organization, that 501c organization, to actually disclose who their donors are.
Earlier this year, lawmakers approved a study on campaign finance reform, and requiring more sunshine on dark money is certain to be one of the topics of discussion heading into the next General Assembly session. I'm Michael Pope.
That was the WMRA Daily Podcast for April 19th, 2021. Thanks for listening.